This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
سلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما واجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه اللهم نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا نسألك خير هذه الليله وخير ما بعدها ونعوذ بك من شر هذه الليله وشر ما بعدها وبعد. Our discussion tonight is going to be about the deception of Iblis, or the deception of Shaytan. And this, the idea of, and inshallah ta'ala, we will have to most likely have another, you know, maybe two or three sessions to cover this topic. there's this notion that some people have, that shaitan is a metaphor, or some sort of a imaginary being or force, or that shaitan represents the evil within us and all of that nonsense. So in order to have proper understanding, we need to refer back to what the Quran said and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. But the Quran extensively talked about shaitan. Shaitan is mentioned in the Quran in many places. So in the Quran we find Iblis, the mention of Iblis, and we find the mention of shaitan, and we find the mention of shayateen, and we also find the mention of, obviously, jinn. Right? And these are, when you read the Quran with proper understanding, you cannot afford but to come to the realization and the conviction that these are actual beings. And they're different things. Right? And of course, there are angels. And to believe in the angels is one of the articles of faith, of the six articles of faith. So who are these beings? Who are they? And where do they live? Where do they exist? Of course, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the description of jinns and all of that. But real quick, angels are invisible beings. But they are actual beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And they were created from light. That doesn't mean that they are light, but they were created from light. Just like we were created from clay, we are carbon-based beings. That doesn't mean that we are clay, right? So, and obviously they live in another dimension or realm, or they may have multiple realms, and they may be able to come into our dimension and transform. But we cannot, we may be able to feel their presence, or especially when we have very, but we don't sense them. We cannot sense them unless they come into our realm, right? Unless they come into our dimension. We can't sense, we can't see them. And the same thing can be said about jinn as well. Now, what is shaitan, or who is shaitan or shayateen? And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says that shaitan was a jinn. So, shaitan, in terms of his nature, he's a jinn. What made him shaitan? We're going to come to this in a minute. What's the main difference between the angels and jinn? Angels were, as we said, they were created from light, where shayateen, or the demons, or jinns, were created from fire, smokeless fire. Angels have good and positive inclination towards worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Allah azza wa jalla. So their orientation is always good. Where jinn, they could be good or bad. They have the potential, just like human beings. They possess the ability. Angels are protected or infallible. Jinns are not infallible. Angels only inspire, only good comes out of angels. Shayateen, they have the potential. They could do good or they could do bad, just like human beings. Angels are all believers. They are believers. And it is, you know, a serious يعني, level or a serious mistake for somebody to say that angels cannot be described as believers or non-believers. They don't have the ability to believe or not to believe. That's not true. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla explicitly in the Quran says, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ in Surah Ghafir, Surah 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed in the Quran that the angels believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the reason I'm making this is because people shared some doctor, some PhD, some self-proclaimed scholar that it was a video that went viral who was saying that angels cannot be referred to as believers because they neither believe or reject, they are just nonsensical, you know. And subhanAllah, he missed a very explicit ayah in the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jalla describes them as believers. So angels are believers, right? From the beginning, they're believers, they remain to believe, their faith is intact, and their faith is not shakable. Where jinn, they have believe. There are believers, non-believers amongst the jinns. They can be atheists, they can be whatever. They can be any of these things. Jinns, just like human beings. All right. So these are the primary differences between angels and jinn. So let's focus on the jinn, whom shaitan is from. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. And I'm not going to go into the debate among some scholars who said, well, jinn doesn't here mean jinn, but it means a group of angels. So some scholars still maintain, some Muslim scholars, perhaps maybe they were heavily influenced by biblical narrative, the biblical narrative, which is not, of course, which I don't believe was authentic, that shaitan is a fallen angel. No, shaitan is not a fallen angel. Angels don't fall. Right? Shaitan is a jinn. A jinn. So what is his story? How did he end up with the angels, in the ranks of angels? This is something prior to the creation of Adam. And for the purpose of this series, it doesn't really interest me. It doesn't really concern me. Where did shaitan come from? You know, how did he end up? If he was a jinn, how did he end up with the angels? What's the point of knowing that? I want to know what this being is all about, and what is his agenda, and why is he targeting me, and how I can protect myself of him. That's my concern. Where he came from, his childhood, when he was born, who he's married to, I care less. Imam Amr ibn Shurahil al-Sha'bi was a very great scholar, but he had great sense of humor. Someone came to him one time, he said to him, you know, what's the name of the wife of Iblis? He's very interested, wants to know, you know, Iblis's wife, where they had their honeymoon. Yeah, I don't know. So he was a very, funny scholar, rahimahullah. He said to him, you know, they did not invite me to their wedding. So how am I, rahimahullah? This is the second century of Islam. So where he came from, what's his nature? What we know from the Quran, the very explicit, clear evidence in the Quran points to the fact that he was a jinn, which means that he has the potential to, I guess he had at some point a potential, he was doing very good, he was in the ranks of the angels, but when he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah debased him and exposed him. So is he shaitan, Iblis, or okay, and what's the difference between the two? Iblis is his proper name. And I'm not going to go into the meaning of Iblis. What does it exactly mean? You know, some scholars said Iblis means someone who has given up on the mercy of Allah. Right? Could be. But it is his proper name. Right? Like we say, Jibril is the proper name of a particular angel. Right? Shaytan is his description or orientation. Right? So, Jibreel alayhi salam, we call him the angel of wahi, Malak al-Wahi. We call him Ruh al-Qudus, the Holy Spirit. Ruh al-Amin, the trusted spirit. Right? These are all descriptions or titles given to Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel, but his actual proper name is Jibreel. Right? So Iblis is the name of the prime, the main worst of all the devils and demons. And he is the father of all shayateen or demons. Yani, not in the literal sense, but in the, well, actually, the scholars, the most authentic opinions of the scholars is that shaitan has descendants of his own. But he is also the father figure of all the devilish demons. So what is a shaitan? They said a shaitan is a deviant jinn, demon. A deviant jinn. And Iblis, we refer to him sometimes as a shaitan, as a description. So, in summary, right? There is a creation. It's established in the Quran. There are actual beings. There is part of our belief that they exist. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned them in the Quran over and over again. These are not just some bad thoughts or the evil aspects of our being, us human beings. Just because we don't see them, just because we may not be able to interact with them, alhamdulillah, may it be like that, right? That doesn't mean that they don't exist, right? So this, you know, it's very foolish for us to and this is part of the iman of ghaib, but it's very foolish for us to deny the existence of something just simply because we can't sense it or we can't touch it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned them in the Quran. They are mentioned in the Quran. There is an entire surah called Surah Al-Jinn, right? And of them, there are believers, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and these believers are like just believers like us. You know, they are our own brethren, you know? And amongst them are those who are deviant, right? The most deviant of them is Iblis, and he is the father figure, and he has children of his own. And his children are all deviant, right? His children and descendants and his army are all deviant. Could some jinns join him? Yes, of course. Now, do human beings have the potential to become shayateen? Or to... A human being can be described as shaitan, meaning we don't transform. But when it comes to shaitan as a description, you know, this devilish behavior can be adopted by jinn, by demons. By the way, when I say demons, that's my translation of the word jinn. Demons can be good. There are good demons. Yani, usually we associate demonic, yani, but there, jinn, if that's what you mean by the term demon, jinn, there are some good of them, you know, good spirits. So when human beings start acting like shaitan, right, then that individual can become devilish in his behavior, right? And subhanAllah, the scholars said there is a huge difference between shayateen al-ins and shayateen al-jinn. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one of his companions, seek refuge in Allah from the shayateen of ins and the shayateen of jinn. So this companion, Abu Dharr, he said to him, Ya Aba Dharr, ta'awwadh min shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. Seek refuge in Allah from the devils of human beings, the human devils, and the demonic, the devils, both. فَقُلْتُ, he said to the Prophet, وَلِلْإِنسِ شَيَاطِينَ, are there human devils? The Prophet ﷺ said, نَعَمْ شَرٌ مِنْ شَيَاطِينَ الْجِنِ. He said, they are worse than the demonic jinns. They are worse. Why? They said because the shayateen of jinn, right, they can only attack you if you are, if you expose yourself to them. If you don't do dhikr, if you don't pray, if you, you know, it takes a lot for them to be able to have any influence on you. They're very weak. You have to be weaker than them. Right? And you can simply by saying a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, you can repel them. They're easier, much easier to repel. But shayateen al-ins, they look like us. They're human. They come in human form. They're human beings, you know, but they are devilish in nature, and they have devilish character, and they try to entice you to do good. And you can see them. You can sense them. You can fall in love with them. You can be deceived by their eloquence. You can be attracted to their appearance. You know, that they have all kinds of... And when you say, A'udhu Billahi, they're not going to go away. Necessarily, right? So, and... So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Abu Dharr to seek refuge in Allah from both. And I don't want to go into how could a human being reach a level where they become devilish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. President Trump, he just fired one of them today, earlier. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Trump himself? I don't think he got there yet. Anyways, this is just, we shouldn't be joking about these things. Tayyib. So who is Iblis that we are, you know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned him in the Quran and he warned us of him. Our issue with Iblis began, well, it actually, according to the prophetic statements, it began before Adam was even, before Adam came to life, when Adam was being formed and fashioned, right? But I'm not going to go there. The actual conflict between us humans and Iblis began the minute or the day or that moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels. And Iblis happened to be with them. He ordered them to bow or to prostrate before Adam, greeting Adam alayhi salam. So all the angels prostrate immediately, went down. Iblis is a jinn. And jinn do not automatically obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless they are true believers. And unless they are humble. Unless they have humility. Just like human beings. Yani, most human beings rebel. The believers, when Allah or His Messenger say, do something, they will do it immediately. Right? The companions were a great example of that. When Allah when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "Ya, you who believe, do this," they were quick to respond. So the higher the iman and the greater the humility in the heart of the believer is, the quicker they will be to respond to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An example of that would be Abu Abdullah ibn Rawaha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of the masjid. He found him standing outside. He said, "What are you doing here?" Or sitting. Sorry, I think he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Rasulullah, I heard you earlier saying to the believers to sit down." So the Prophet, basically the story is the Prophet was in the masjid and he said, "Oh believers, yeah, you sit down." The Sahaba, so they all sat down and the Prophet addressed them, spoke to them, and then whatever he told them ended. So they all got up when they saw the Prophet leave, they all left. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, at that moment when the Prophet said sit down and he was able to hear the Prophet, he was outside. He didn't make it inside the masjid. So as soon as he heard the Messenger say, "Oh believers, sit down," he sat down. Right there. Doesn't matter where, you know, khalas. The Prophet said, "Sit down." So he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you told me to sit down and you did not give me permission and I did not hear you say, get up." So just, to demonstrate how quick they were to respond to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Allah said to the angels, bow down, prostrate, they all prostrated. Except Iblis. He started having a struggle in his head, or he didn't. He did not respond. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Iblis, summoned Iblis, said, "Ma mana'aka," what stopped you? It's not like Allah doesn't know. But now Iblis is on trial. Why didn't you do this? Now, instead of saying, "I'm sorry," or, you know, so Iblis challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Ana khayrun minhu," I am better than him. Why should I go down? Why should I prostrate before someone? أنا خير منه. He said, you created me. Iblis said, you created me from fire, and you created the substance of his creation is mud, clay, and fire is superior to clay. So I'm better. Why should I? So he said, how could you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, how could you refuse to bow down or to refuse my commandment? لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ I have created him with my own hands. And I am the one that told you to do it. So at that point, instead of realizing that, I goofed, I made a big mistake. Sorry, oh Allah, forgive me. He said, he insisted, he rebelled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then you have to leave. And you will be cursed. For no one with arrogance can be in my presence. You can't have arrogance. And instead of saying, oh Allah, you know, don't curse me or forgive me or punish me and then forgive me, he said, then don't punish me, don't destroy me, don't punish me now. أنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون. Delay my punishment until the day of judgment. Don't punish me now. And when Iblis requested this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that. So he said, now that you have cursed me, right, I will show you they're not worthy of your honor, and I will go after them. I will go after him, his wife, and their children, their descendants, until the day of judgment. So he vowed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, you go ahead, do whatever you can. You have no authority over them. You will only have authority over those who will follow you, the corrupt one amongst them. But the good ones, you will have no authority. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٍ They are my true servants. You will not. And you will see. So Iblis, so it became a challenge. Iblis said, I will show you how many I can get, drag to hell with me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, I will show you how many of them you are not going to be able to get. You will not. You're not going to be able to get them. So anyway, so this is when the issue or the animosity or conflict between Iblis and man began. And immediately Iblis, of course, tempted Adam alayhi salam and his wife to eat from the tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade them. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. So he tempted them to the point where Adam took a bite from it and then realized what he has done was wrong and that Iblis deceived him. So the deception of Iblis is true. And this is what this series is all about, the deception of Iblis. You know, how was Iblis able to deceive Adam, alayhi salam? And if he was able to deceive Adam, then who are we? And how does Iblis do it? He has different plans for different people. He has custom made, you know, and he's full of ideas, and he has mastered this art of deception. Astaghfirullah, not art. This act of deception, he has mastered it. It's a long history, right? That's why Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, wrote a book called Talbis Iblis, The Deception of Iblis. And in it, he mentions details of how Iblis manages to deceive scholars. He can even get to scholars, worshippers, good people, sinners, men, women, people who hold office or people of authority, right? How Iblis manages to deceive rich people. How Iblis manages to deceive poor people. You know, how he's able to exploit whether it's something good or something bad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And it's a very, very valuable book, you know, that we need to read and educate. And then we need to reflect upon our own life. How does Iblis get us? How does he get me or get you? How? What did he do? Because believe it or not, some of the ways that he uses, he just repeats them. And it works. How does it work on us every single time? Because if we understand, you see, Ibn al-Jawzi says that, if we understand how he works his tricks on us, and what gets us, or what gets other people, then we're better equipped. We are in a better position to combat that. And resist and identify it as an act of deception from shaitan. So therefore, we are much more immune or stronger in combating that. Now, I'm not sure if you have, if you ever, if someone asked you this question of, or if you yourself asked this question ever. But someone once asked me, what's the point? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow Iblis to do all of this? Why? I mean, we as human beings, we're weak, we are sinful by nature, you know. We don't even need Iblis to do wrong, you know. Now there is Iblis, you know. Why? If your child asks you this question, how do you answer this question? It's part of that test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. So I guess you can, one way of answering this question is to say, what is the purpose of your creation? You say, of course, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this temporary life or stage, this is a testing period. So you are being tested. And Iblis is just another element of that big test. Okay, that's one way to answer. By the way, we are trying, this is an attempt to understand the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, but we will not be able to capture or encompass the infinite wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm sure there are a lot of answers. There is infinite amount of wisdom in it. But if we can identify few, it can help us come to some very profound realization. So this is one way of looking at it. And it's a valid way, mentioned by scholars. Okay, what else? What else can you think of? Your child, your daughter, your son comes to you and says, you know, why did Allah create Iblis? Or why is Iblis there? Or why does Iblis have access to us? Anything. Can think of. Has anyone, how many of you wondered this? You ever thought of, you know, life would have been much better without Iblis? How many of us? Show of hands. Okay.
So we can see good and bad, we can compare it.
Contrast. Okay. So you don't realize how good Allah and the angels who inspire us to do good things are until you see how evil. Okay. Do you see? By the way, there is a principle as part of our fundamentals in Islam, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing evil comes from Allah azza wa jal. And even things that we identify as evil, there is some good aspect in them. So what good could come out of the existence or the presence of Iblis in our lives?
Opens up our perspective of looking at things, looking at the evil and the good.
Okay. So evil is always blamed on this evil being, Shaitan, and good. It will make us try harder. Okay. So we can identify our weaknesses. We know. Okay. So, but wait. Let's go back to the weakness part. Okay. So when you know that you're weak, then what? Okay. Yes. See the difference between believers and non-believers? Okay. SubhanAllah. Of the beautiful answers that I was given myself, and again, this is work in progress. One of the beautiful answers I was given was from the work of Ibn Ata'illah Sakandari, a great, you know, scholar, who said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Iblis, لِيَحُوشِكَ بِهِ إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Iblis, Shaytan, to bring you to him. لِيَحُوشَكَ بِهِ إِلَيْهِ. Right? So that you would. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. So you know there's this very dangerous being out there. That you have this enemy out there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, that's your enemy. But you know, the only one that can protect you from that enemy is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah brings you to Him because of Iblis. Because you know that, right? You want your child, let's say you want, you know there are bad elements out there. But your child doesn't realize that. And they want to go. They want to do. They want their freedom. They want to do anything. They don't want to stop. You're like, you're going to get hurt. So what do you do? What do you do? You tell them about the dangers that are out there. Right? You didn't. You're not the one that brought this danger. You're telling them there is a danger out there. So that they would come and stay within the safe zone and be around you. And you tell them, you know, don't talk to strangers, don't do it, right? Because you love them and you care about them, right? Also, for those good-hearted, pure people who are weak, but they don't realize they're weak, who are sinful, they don't realize they're sinful, right? They have temptations. They don't realize the danger of their temptations. Because you don't realize how bad temptation is, because it's part of your nature, right? It's within you. Until temptation gets you in trouble. But then once you get in trouble, what happens? If you're a pure person, feel a lot of pain. Like Adam alayhi salam. You're going to be in a lot of pain. And sometimes, you know, you're like, you don't want to forgive yourself. And you become hard on yourself. And the pain becomes unbearable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, no, it's not all you. You're not as bad as you think. Shaitan has something to do with it. So take it easy on yourself. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal says about Adam and Eve, فَأَزِلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا. It's not all 100% their fault. Shaitan had something to do with it. Just to kind of, to ease the effect, the negative effect or the impact of. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. Allah Azza wa Jal said to the believers, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ. Those of you who ran away when the two parties collided in the battlefield, those of you who ran away, they're not pure evil. They're not people who committed treason. And he said, إِنَّمَا سَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا. Shaitan was able to exploit them. Right? So part of the blame is thrown on Shaitan too. Just like when your child comes to you, they're really devastated, they're really, really upset, they're upset with themselves, and they're hard on themselves, they're crying, Dad, I'm bad, I'm a bad boy. Oh, don't say that about yourself. No, I'm a bad boy, I did this. How did that happen? Well, I saw our neighbor's kid do this, and I did like it, you know, what he did. Well, Habibi, it's not all your fault, you know, you should have not copied him, you know, he has something to, so you're trying to put some of the blame on that external factor, to ease the pain on this child of yours. Right? SubhanAllah. Right? So this is from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing to be also noted is when Shaytan asked Allah to be given until the end of time, what did Allah do? Huh? He granted him his wish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants wishes. You know, just for those of us, jazakallah khair. For those of us who say, oh, you know, I have a need, I have a wish, I desperately want something. Have you ever desperately, sincerely, eagerly, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers dua with full conviction, asked Allah azza wa jal? If Allah gave shaitan what he asked for, you think if you sincerely turn to Allah azza wa jal, you think you're going, Allah will fail you? Right? Another thing, and I will stop right here, to be added to this, is sometimes in order for, okay, when you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to do, you get rewarded. It's ibadah, right? When you stay away from something Allah forbade you from doing, It's also ibadah. But there is also ibadah that takes place in between. In between you doing what Allah commanded you to do, and it's in between when you are tempted to do something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah talks about this. Right? This struggle. When you combat Iblis, you get rewarded. That is ibadah. Right? When Iblis comes to you, whispers, and you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, no, I'm not going to do this, and you continue. Not only is it ibadah, but it strengthens your faith. Makes you stronger. So as one of the brothers said, my dear brother Hassan Alwan, he said, you know, we come to this life, we think we're, you think you're set, you're made, you're being baked, you're being prepared, you are getting prepared to become even better. It's through this struggle with shaitan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to mature and grow stronger spiritually. Right? And if this other, you know, like for instance right now, when you go and you train and you want to become strong, what do? You spar. Right? You spar. If you do martial art or, right? You spar with someone. You have to have an opponent. Right? You don't allow that opponent to, you know, you're in trouble if that opponent beats you. But so long you're able to stand up to this opponent, and so long you're able to contain, what happens? You become stronger. The longer the you spar, the stronger you become. And likewise, spiritually, this ongoing battle between us and shaitan, mughalaba or muragama, you're like, ugh. No, you're not gonna get me. You know, you got me yesterday, you're not gonna get me today. You're becoming stronger. You're growing more mature spiritually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing you to welcome you in His presence, to bring you to a level that makes you worthy to be in His presence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are just some of the wisdom, you know, part of the wisdom in this. So, طيب. So how does shaitan work? How is he able to deceive us? Inshallah, we're going to leave this for the next session. I will take questions, but before that, I just want to say Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran makes it very clear. In Surah Fatir, verse 6, Allah says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaitan is indeed your enemy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran has done its part by identifying our ultimate enemy and telling us to be cautious and be aware. And then the Quran and the prophetic tradition comes and tells us aspects of the nature of this enemy and describes this enemy to us. And then the Quran and the prophetic tradition teaches us how we can protect ourselves from the work of this enemy. Not only that, but his agenda, by the way, is made clear to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes the satanic agenda. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith that of his agenda, and we're going to examine these narrations inshallah in the next session. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, the Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us that one of Shaitan's ultimate goals is to destroy households and to destroy marriages. One of the ultimate goals. By the way, when somebody commits a sin, they commit a sin, knowing that they are committing a sin. They drink alcohol, they commit zina and all of that. It doesn't excite shaitan much. You know why? Actually, one of the most frustrating aspects of committing sins or sinful people is that when they repent to Allah and they ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah forgives them. And that just kills shaitan. Allah forgives them. So it's demonstration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's what? Mercy and compassion. So long they ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah forgives them. So this doesn't excite shaitan. It doesn't excite him at all. Because to him it's a reminder. For instance, if you have a child that is rebellious, you know, and then that child comes and you're like, time out. And then that child sees another child, your favorite child, or the other children, commit offenses. And they come, they're like, sorry. And you're like, okay, it's okay, Habibi. I forgive you. What does it do to them? What does it do to the one in timeout? Huh? It kills them. It destroys them. Yeah, they ask for forgiveness. You didn't. You're arrogant. You're cursed. So Shaitan is in timeout. He's you know, right? But so this, it doesn't excite him. But when a household falls apart, when divorce takes place, this is very exciting. It's a great accomplishment. When the person loses their iman, oh, this is the ultimate. The ultimate goal of Shaitan is that the individual loses iman, and becomes gives up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, someone might say, okay, if you, when you commit a sin, Shaitan does not get excited because you're going to ask Allah for forgiveness or you're going to repent, so why does he make you do it again? We're going to come to this, inshallah, in more details. Because the more you commit sins, the frequency of sins is going to do, what is it going to do to you? Huh? It's going to weaken you, weaken your iman, and then eventually you become desensitized, and then you stop asking Allah for forgiveness. Or it will eat you up from inside, and you're going to say, Allah will not forgive me, and you're going to fall into a state of despair from the mercy of Allah. So you become like Shaitan, and that's his ultimate goal. Right? So on the short term, on the short, you know, it doesn't excite him. But on the long run, if he manages to keep you addicted to this sin and keep you repeat it, then yeah, might get him to what he wants from you. Right? So despair, giving up on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is, and it doesn't matter how you get there, whether it's so that's why he doesn't give up on anyone, even righteous people. He doesn't give up on them. He comes to them. Some people may, Shaitan knows, I can't tempt this person to commit a major sin. This person is immune. So Shaitan tries something else. He has different set of tricks and different strategy that he uses with scholars, well aware of who Shaitan is and what. He has different strategies for them. Customizes everything. Right? So he has different strategies for different people. His ultimate goal is to make the person deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become like him. Right? But if he can't get him there, then he will settle for something a little less. But that's his ultimate goal. By the way, also from the effects of Shaitan is forgetfulness. Yani, to forgive, to forget. Shaitan wants to distract you or distract us to the point where, now someone might say, oh, are you saying that my memory loss has something to do with Shaitan? No, that's not what I'm talking about. But in the Quran, there is clear evidence that Shaitan makes people forget. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتَ وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ. You know, in the story of Musa and Al-Khidr, the Joshua, who was the student of Musa and his follower, Musa alayhi salam gave him the food. Right? So he gave him a cooked fish. So he forgot the fish. So he said, when Musa told him, by the way, we're very hungry, where is the fish? He said, oh, I forgot the fish, and Shaitan made me forget it. So he blamed it on Shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran says, فَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى فَلَا تَقْعُدْ مَعَ الْقَوْمِ. So once Shaitan makes you forget, right? In the story of Yusuf, when Yusuf told the two men that he interpreted the dreams to, he told the one that he thought he was going to survive, he told. So Allah tells us, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. So Shaitan does that by way of distracting us. You know, when you forget in salah, for sure that's from Shaitan. Distraction. So he doesn't necessarily go and manipulate your memory and stuff like that, but he overwhelms you with thoughts and ideas, right? So that you forget. Right? This is also from the effects of shaitan. Right? And of course, you know, for those of us, whenever you get in trouble and your spouse says, "Why did you forget this?" Tell her, "Shaitan made me forget it." You know, this is from the mercy of Allah. An excuse. Sorry, I didn't mean to forget. I did not forget it because I don't care about what you're telling me. You know, I care about what you're telling me, but Shaitan made me forget it because he wants to make you angry at me. So don't let Shaitan make you angry at me. If you do that, then you're giving Shaitan what he wants. Don't be angry. No, seriously, I'm not joking, by the way. When you're upset with your spouse, that's part of Shaitan's. And that's why, by the way, you find that, subhanAllah, a lot of, you know, the conflict, marital conflict, right? And the failure to resolve them. When a third person or someone comes, tries to help the two, you know, calm down, once they calm down, and you try to trace back, okay, where did this conflict come from? What was the cause of the conflict? 99.9% of the time, they're trivial things. You're like, how did this lead to all of this? Huge conflict. How did it? Seriously, my dear brothers and sisters, you cannot. There is no way to explain this. Marriage and family therapists, psychologists, there is no way you can explain this. It doesn't make sense. How could a sane person, highly educated, very smart, intelligent person, two individuals, right, reach to this point where a conflict that began over something very silly reached a level where the two had to basically bring their entire clan to resolve this issue? Shaitan. You know, there is a story that one of the shuykh tells. It's not a story, it's just a metaphor of how Shaitan, all he does is just pokes the person. And then there's a ripple effect. You know, people take it too far, right? So this is from the work of Shaitan. From the work of Shaitan, right? So Shaitan, for instance, comes and says, you know, your wife tells you to get her something. And then you're like, okay, I'll get it for her. Right? And she's like, oh, he's going to get it for me. But then the Shaitan tells her, well, since he's in a good mood and he's going to get you what you want, why don't you ask him for more stuff? Right? So she starts saying, then the text basically becomes longer. She texts him, okay, and don't forget this, and don't forget this. And by the way, most important thing is this. And then the poor guy over there, Shaitan, you know, now he's excited. I'm going to do this for her. And then Shaitan knows that he cannot multitask. Right? Right? So basically he overwhelms him with thoughts. And he's trying to get this and he's trying to get that. And he's not good at shopping, you know. Where, you know, if his wife was with him, she would have first gotten certain things first. And then at the end of, right before you get to the cashier, you get the stuff that, you know, belong to the freezer. Frozen stuff, you get them at the end. You don't get them first. By the time you finish half hour, you know, then everything melted. Right? So anyways, he gets her everything that she asked for. But then he forgot that he was supposed to have gotten the ice cream at the end. Not in the beginning. Right? So then he goes home. Honey, I came home. You know, she looks, the ice cream is a mess. Not only is it a mess, but the one most important item that she wanted, now the ice cream melted and ruined it. So, and this guy is expecting what? Jazakallah khair, thank you very much, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. But then Shaitan tells her, you know, remember these, you know, this guy is an idiot. Make him feel like a fool. Make him ashamed of himself. Make this a very painful experience for him so that he would never repeat this again. Teach him a lesson so this would not happen again. This is for the sake of the family. How much money did he waste right now by doing this? And it becomes a big deal. And she starts speaking as Shaitan supplies her with all these justifications. And this guy sees a monster in front of him. How dare you do this? You know? Who do you think? You're ungrateful. You're always ungrateful. Now Shaitan tells him, respond to her. Don't let her disrespect you. After you spent all this money, you know, she's doing this to you. You know, you need to put her back in her place. Who does she think she is? You should have told her to go and get it herself. Why did he get it for her? You know? And what your mother said about her yesterday was true, you see? And he doesn't realize Shaitan actually made his mother say that to him. So that when this moment comes, he ties up, yeah, my mom was good. And then, foolishly, this thought, instead of being thought in his head, comes out loud. So instead of just a thought being in his head, oh, my mom said this to me, he says it out loud. My mom said that. He brings his mom into the equation. Right? And he doesn't realize that he said it out loud. Or he doesn't realize that women can read thoughts. Even if it's a voice in his head, she read it. She's like, I know what that looks means. Right? Your mom. Oh, so now that he brought his mom into the equation, now she's more angry. And she says something offensive about his mom. Oh, how dare you say this about my mom? And then things escalate. You go home, khalas, to your father's place. Or this is it. Or this is how things escalate. And all Shaitan did was what? Made him forget to pick the ice cream at the end. That's it. That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's all. Very little thing. And if anyone was to come to resolve this conflict, how did it get to this point? You bring it down to something very small. Very small. You know. And if Shaitan wasn't there, they should have just laughed about it. And of course, there are more, you know, subtle and more effective and more painful ways Shaitan exploits, or, you know, the fears that we have, the weaknesses that we have. You know, they're going to give you dirty looks. You know, you're not going to get a job. You'll become homeless. You know, your kids are going to be ashamed of you. You know, your neighbors are going to give you dirty looks. You know, you're not going to get, your clients are going to, you know, right? They're going to say this about you. They're going to think that you're this. They're going to think that you're that, right? What are people going to say about you? How are people going to perceive you? All of these things. You know, Shaitan exploits these fears and some basic human needs that we have. He exploits them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us and protect us. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. If you have any question for me, inshallah ta'ala, we'll, you know. If you don't, then I have some questions or some homework for you until next time, or maybe you can share it with me beforehand, inshallah. I have a homework with you for you, remind me, inshallah. But any questions? Yes? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Talbis Iblis, the deception of the devil's deception, or the deception of Iblis. I think it's translated, or at least the summary of it, you know, an abridged version of it is translated. Yes? Now you have to keep in mind that some of the examples used in the book are classical examples. So you may not be able to relate to some of the, maybe a lot of stuff. Because it's talking, you know, when Ibn al-Jawzi wrote it, he wrote it for the people of his time, you know. But most of it is true, is still applicable, right? So maybe we need someone now to rewrite that book and use contemporary examples. Inshallah. Yes, tafadhal.
My question, I don't know if it's related, but I know two stories
told
happened to So the Shaitan doesn't affect him very much.
No.
And then another thing, you know, and next Ammar al-Su'i. And the last one is every human being has a Shaitan assigned to him. So I believe, I feel like every human being is like a programmed, even if you feel like, you know, I'm doing the one I want, but I'm like a program to do that. Even, you know, it's the human, it's, and they are sinful. Face all of this, even if it's something even like built or like it's inside me, even if I don't have the, you know, the ability to take it out, like Zayy Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's like more struggle or more hard to face all of this
طيب. Beautiful question. طيب. You asked a lot of questions. So let's take the last one first. You asked about what is known in our tradition as Al-Qareen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Qaf. Surah Qaf, Surah is Surah 50, right? Surah 50. Surah Qaf is Surah 50, right? Yeah. Verse 27. قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد. قال قرينه وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد ألقي في جهنم كل كفار عنيد مناع للخير معتد مريب الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر فألقياه في العذاب الشديد. قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد. قال لا تختصموا إلي وقد قدمت إليكم بالوعيد ما يبدل القول لدي وما أنا بظلام للعبيد. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us وقال قرينه. What does the word قرين mean? قرين means companion, right? Companion. A very close companion or a companion that is with the person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and his companion will say, meaning the companion of the human being will say, this record is what is with me prepared. This is the record, this is his record. Later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد. His companion also will say, our Lord, I did not make him transgress, but he himself was an extreme deviance. These are two different qareens. So, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of course explained this further. So, what we understand from this is that each and every one of us, every human being, has two companions. Two companions from the moment of his birth until the moment he dies or she dies. Now, whether they outlive him or not, Allahu A'lam. You know, that's not, where do they come from? Are they born? You know, where do they come from? Allahu A'lam. I'm not interested in that. Where they come from or when do they die? Do they outlive the person or not? That's not my interest. My interest is that from the moment of the birth of that individual until the moment that person dies, these two companions are with him. One is an angel and keeps track of his actions and his progress in life. And the other one is a devil, a demon. You know, some scholars said, you know, every time a human being is born, Shaitan's wife delivers a baby, whatever. You know, I don't know about this. My point is that there is, Shaitan designates one demon to be with each person, right? And I don't want you to get scared or lose sleep over it, but you know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns an angel. Every time you're inclined to do something good, that's from the inspiration of the angel. Every time you're inclined to do something evil, you think, sometimes, by the way, we think of things, of thoughts, you're like, where did that come from? Right? It's not even like you. It's like, right? I could have not thought of this on my own. Like, where did that come from? You're like, weird. Like, totally like weird, sick thoughts. You're like, أعوذ بالله, what is this? That's the devil. Right? And one keeps track of your record and inspires you to do good. The other one keeps track of your faults and your weaknesses and your whims and your desires and your taste, right? To exploit it. By the way, this shaitan does not know what is in your heart or what is in your mind, your thoughts. They cannot read your thoughts. They don't know about your intention. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. But what they do is, they do what? They study you very well. They analyze you. just like Google does, you know? They see your pattern, your trend. Oh, you like this. You like to go shopping. You like this. You're easily tempted. And nowadays, of course, with social media, we make it very easy. Not only for our shaitan, but for the shaitan of the other people. We make it very easy, you know? We tell them what we like, what we don't like, and all of that. So, that's a qareen that you're asking about. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith of Imam Muslim said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ وُكِّلَ بِهِ قَرِينُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِ. So the Sahaba asked the Prophet, how about you, Messenger of Allah? Do you have a companion? He said, yes. Even I have a companion. إِلَّا أَنَّ اللَّهَ, except that Allah عز وجل أَعَانَنِي عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me, فَأَسْلَمْ. There are two narrations, two understanding for this. فَأَسْلَمْ, meaning I am safe from him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects me from him. Another understanding, a valid understanding, and wallahu ta'ala a'lam, this is the correct understanding, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me, فَأَسْلَمْ, meaning he became Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to convert his own, you know, demon to Muslim. He says, فَلَا يَأْمُرُنِي إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. He only tells me to do good things. So he became a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he reinforces what. So the angel basically inspires the Prophet. The qareen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confirms, says, you know, let's do this. So this is the hadith of Imam Muslim. And another narration, Imam Muslim said, this is the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. In another hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that one night the Messenger of Allah, he left the place at night. He left. He went somewhere. قَالَتْ فَغِرْتُ. So I became jealous, she said. So he came back. When he came back, he noticed that she had a different attitude. She was. So he said, مَالَكِ يَا عَائِشَة. Are you okay, Aisha? What's wrong? أَغِرْتِ. Are you jealous? I mean, he was able to. She said, yes. She said, why shouldn't someone like me be jealous, about someone like you? So he said, the Prophet ﷺ said to her, أَقَدْ جَاءَكِ شَيْطَانُكِ. Did your shaitan, is your shaitan around? قالت يا رسول الله أو معي شيطان أو مسجد الله. There is a shaitan with me. يعني, because he knew this thought could have not been, because Aisha is so pure and she's pure hearted. This idea of the Prophet ﷺ could be doing something, you know, didn't originate from her. And by the way, when he said that, he wasn't insulting her. As a matter of fact, he was making an excuse for her. You're not like that. I know you to be a pure hearted person. This idea must be from an external factor. Your shaitan is the one that threw this idea into your head. Right? It's not you. So she said, oh, there is a shaitan with me, O Messenger of Allah. He said, na'am. He said, yes. وَمَعَ كُلِّ إِنسَانِ. And with every human being. So she said, وَمَعَكَ. And how about you, Messenger of Allah? And notice that the Prophet ﷺ, when she says that, he didn't say, how dare you say that. He didn't get offended. Because this is, facts should not offend. He said, na'am. Yes, indeed. ولكن ربي, however, my Lord, أعانني عليه حتى أسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me until he became Muslim. You know, he gave up on the Prophet and then he said, like, hey, Muhammad, whatever, I follow you. خلاص. He couldn't. Right? And this is confirmed by the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, who heard the Prophet ﷺ say this on a different occasion. And the hadith of Aisha, who reported this in this other occasion where her and the Prophet ﷺ were having this intimate conversation, and the Prophet told her this. So she reported this to us. Now. And this, by the way, this qareen does not give up on the individual even when they're dying. Even until the very last moment, they don't give up. They will continue. They will continue to try. And by the way, this also perhaps could be the same shaitan that, causes you to lose focus in salah. Just keeps, bringing Because, you know, some people say, no, there is a special shaitan that comes to you in salah that must be different shaitan. No. I'm certain that it's the same shaitan. You know why? Because he reminds you of things, right, that you totally forgot about. If it was only a shaitan that is stationed in the masjid, how did he know about what happened at Starbucks? Must be the one that is with me the whole time. You know, makes you remember things that you totally forgot about. And by the way, chances are he made you forget it so that he can remind you of it in salah. It's strange. So he doesn't leave. So that is the you know. And of course, someone might say, okay, so is everything evil or bad that I'm doing shaitans? Right? Is it blamed on shaitan? No. It's your, you take full responsibility for it. What shaitan does, shaitan exploits a weakness that you have, right? The needs that you have, the desires that you have, right? He exploits that. You are responsible to protect yourself. And for those people who say, well, it's all the shaitan's fault, why did you listen to the shaitan and you did not listen to the angel? You choose to listen to which one you listen to, or which one you side with. That's your choice. Now, with regards to the Prophet's heart being washed, yes, indeed, that is authentic, that is true. The Prophet's heart was washed. And one of the reasons that his qareen was not able to do anything to him is because whatever that qareen would have exploited was removed from the Prophet. So the Prophet's orientation is always good. Right? So that part of our essence that is tempted to do evil or desire evil or have, that is susceptible to it, that was blocked. That was removed from the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored our Prophet ﷺ and removed that from his heart. So that's what the hadith means. ذَلِكَ حَظُّ شَيْطَانِ مِنْكَ. That is what shaitan could have taken advantage of or exploited. We have removed it, O Muhammad. So it was removed. So his shaitan, what happened is, had no choice. You can sit and try to tempt. I mean, he couldn't do anything. And the Prophet ﷺ invited him to Islam, so he accepted Islam. No. Yes?
Is that Islam?
Now remember, we said the word shaitan means a deviant jinn. So jinn, in general, just like human beings. You know, they can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open their hearts and they can soften their hearts. And there are amongst jinns, believers. And we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know this is in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a group of jinns came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the way, when you go to Mecca, for those of us who are going for Hajj, there is a place, the place where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went with the Prophet, and the Prophet ﷺ drew a line for him, and he said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, don't go past this line, stay behind this line. And the Prophet ﷺ, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, and the Prophet ﷺ, once he passed the line, he disappeared. In front of him, just disappeared. And then he could hear the Prophet ﷺ engage in a conversation. It was huge, you know. And he stayed. He stayed in the place where the Prophet ﷺ told him. He made a box for him, and he said, stay there. And the Prophet ﷺ then came back. And he found him, he had fallen asleep. He said, the Messenger of Allah, at some point I was tempted to get out and see. He said, I'm glad you didn't do that. Had you done that, I would have not been able to retrieve you. They would have, you know. So anyways, so the Prophet ﷺ did engage them. By the way, we're not supposed to engage them. They are as weirded out by us as we are by them. And we're not supposed to engage one another. They have their own world, we have our own world. They're supposed to stay in their own dimension, we're supposed to stay in our own dimension. By the way, we are much more scary to them than they are to us. Because they can see us, but we can't see them. So we spook them. And that's why they stay away in places that, you know, humans are not, you know. So they run away from places that are inhabited by human beings. So anyways, so to answer your question, yeah, I mean, they could, you know, yeah. No. Yes.
Is it
I know some people are not going to be able to sleep tonight. Yes? No? No, no, you should be able to sleep. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith told us, just kind of, and we can do this together, inshallah, azza wa jal. Actually, there's a story behind this hadith. If you recite Ayatul Kursi, no devil will come near you or bother you until the morning. And the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, if you recite them, you're protected, you're guarded. That's it. You know. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم. ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء. وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض. ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. So you don't have to worry about it. You're gonna have a good night's sleep, inshallah ta'ala. Any other question? Inshallah, we have 5 more minutes. Yes. What's that? What about the Qareen? Is it a separate creation? No, it appears to be a separate, just like the angel is, yes. No. Any other question? Yes. Yes. Remember that we said. No. We said the word shaitan means what? Devilish, evil, deviant. That's what it means. So when we say shayateen al-jinn, we're talking about demons and what we call devils. When the Quran says shayateen al-ins, that means deviant people. Deviant, corrupt, evil people who tempt other people to do bad things. And you know, there are people who are, you know, so evil that they are not, they thrive when other people do evil things. Not only that, but they tempt people to do evil things. That, like, they encourage you to do evil things. No, no, they're human beings. Yeah, they're human beings. They're you know, normal, well, they're normal human beings, but their soul has been corrupted so much so that they have submitted to shaitan. They have totally submitted the reins, like, you know, they have, so they follow evil, khalas. When you shun the angel, when the angel comes to inspire you to do something good, and you shut down that angel, and you engage in doing evil things, and you stay away from the remembrance of Allah, you rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan welcomes you. So you become an asset. You become part of shaitan's apparatus. You become part of, you know, you become a soldier of shaitan. And, you know, there are people who dedicate. And nowadays we have this, you know, we have even people who worship shaitan. Right? You know, one time I remember debating with a distant relative of mine who came, and he was convinced. He's like, you know, shaitan had a point. And he was defending shaitan. He got so poisoned by this because he was, then later I found out that he was going to their websites and reading and stuff like that. And he was convinced by some of this, you know, the most, you know, the most evil arguments that they're using. And it took a while to bring him back. You know, and there are people who sell, I mean, literally, I mean, we use it as a metaphor, but there are people who sell their souls to the devil. They sell their souls to the devil. Wal'ayadu billah. Right? So, and that's why you find these people, they can never be humble. You can't be humble. They're very arrogant, egoistic, self-centered, and they have this sense of entitlement. Where people who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're always humble. Right? They're always humble. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves humility. They're like angels. Angels are very humble. Right? though they are stronger. They're stronger in terms of, in mind, they're mentally they're stronger, spiritually they're stronger, emotionally they're stronger, but they're humble. And you see this correlation. The stronger the person is in these aspects, and even physically, the more humble they should be. The weaker the person is, the more arrogant and egoistic they are. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك تبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين الذي فاطر السماوات والأرض رب كل شيء ومليكه نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نعوذ بك من شرور أنفسنا ومن شر الشيطان وشركه أو أن نقترف على أنفسنا سوءا أو نجره إلى مسلم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ربنا نعوذ بك من همزات الشياطين ونعوذ بك ربنا أن يحضرون يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Oh, your homework, I almost forgot. Your homework is to share, inshallah ta'ala, you can email it or you can text me. Your homework is to share one to three. Minimum one, maximum three, right? Three ways of deception shaitan, shaitan uses to get to people, whether it's you or someone that you know. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Three areas that shaitan deceives people.